are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So the original sin might have started this mess, right? But it's not the end of the story. Imagine if every mistake you made had no choice of redemption. Whew. That would be bad. Luckily, the concept of sin is also tied to forgiveness and a chance to start anew. So let's talk about how we can find hope beyond the fall and move from guilt to grace, one step at a time. We're joined on the line once again by Brother Dumisani Moyo, who's going to be helping us unpack this one. Moribuanj.
Teribino, Moribuan.
Teribuin.
I got you
today.
Thank you very much for trying.
I'm getting there. Next time the conversation will progress beyond, you know, just the greeting.
No, we'll start there, then we'll figure out the rest as we go. And when you come over to Malawi, we'll definitely teach you.
Thank you so much. So before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please offer a word of prayer?
Yes, let us pray. Our kind and loving Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the day you have given us. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to discuss your word and be able to go through your word. But we also ask, Lord, that your word would go through us, that our hearts would be willing and ready to hear what you have to say. But we also ask, Lord, that our minds would be able to comprehend that which is the study for eternity, and that is your gospel, and that is your love. We ask, Lord, that you would help us, correct us, and teach us in your ways. We thank you. And we ask that all this would bring us joy. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. I'm reminded there's this song by, I think it's Johnny McClurkin, where he says, we fall down, but we rise up again. We fall down and then we get up again, you know. It just reminded me, this conversation we are having, it just reminded me of that song, because you're speaking about all things, you know, how we can find hope beyond the fall, because we fall daily. Sometimes we condemn ourselves, saying, yo, this sin is too much, you know, but forgetting that, you know, his grace is sufficient for us, you know. So looking at the idea of redemption, Brother Dumisani, you know, how does it change, you know, our understanding of the original sin? Because they sinned, but they didn't die. We are here today, even though there was that particular fall that happened there. So how does redemption now, you know, make us look at, you know, or understand the original sin?
So the idea of redemption, and one of the things I think that comes out very clearly is the fact that one thing that we definitely recognize, especially from our conversations, is that we're all affected by sin. There is no one of us who would say that sin has not affected, has not come into any part of my life. I'm completely clean. I'm completely perfect. All of us are either, well, all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. However, with each one of us, I think sometimes we take for granted what John chapter 3 and verse 16 says, when it says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe, and there's the condition, whosoever would believe shall not perish but have everlasting life. And we realize that we all realize that there is sin, but we all realize that there is a need for a savior, not only a need for a savior, but there is a savior. And the idea that then comes in is to say, okay, and maybe I should ask this to you.
Yeah.
Are we saying then that are we saved in sin or saved from sin?
Theologians, please don't come from me. This is my, you know, layman understanding. No. It's we are saved from sin.
Yes. And this is the idea that, and the reason why I ask that is because maybe many of us, like you had said, when it comes to the idea of sin being there, yes, it definitely is there. Do we fall daily? Yes, we do. We maybe there's that there we each have that those sins that can easily beset us, and it's not like God does not know this. He does know this. However, knowing this and having a solution to it is the reason why he came and died for us. It's because he has the. I mean, even when you look at the Bible, there is a verse that actually says, "The righteous man, he falls seven times, but he does get back up, and she gets back up." We are given the power to be sons and daughters of God because of Christ, because of Christ's sacrifice for us. But that doesn't mean that we are doomed to say that that I'm supposed to remain in sin. Actually, the reason why we're saved is because we recognize just how sinful sin is. And so we want to come away from that. We want to have that change, but we can't do it in our own power. We cannot. So, yes, sin is connected to, when it comes to within Christ, it comes to the idea of being connected to redemption and the story of redemption. And that story is not someone else's, it is ours to have.
So looking at, forgiveness, right? How does it look like in the context of sin, both in our lives and in our faith? Because I understand, we sin, yes, we sin against God, but there are some sins that are against our fellow brethren, in terms of forgiveness, when Zanella now forgives you because you've wronged her. How do we now, what does it look like, that forgiveness, in terms of, our day-to-day people, our sins, and also our faith?
So I think there's two parts that I'd like to first of all put out. We cannot truly forgive until we have, I mean, we cannot truly forgive unless we recognize just how truly God has forgiven us. I like the story that Jesus told when he says that there was a man who was there was an owner of fields. Rather, I would just I'm trying to find the right word, but for now I'll just say he was a boss. And there were two people, two of his employees who actually owed him money, and he forgave both of them. But then the one who was owed, the one who owed 100 million, and then there was one who owed 1,000. The one who owed 100 million, when he was forgiven, he was the one who loved the most. And I'm not saying then that we have to go out and sin more to recognize just how much and how much we can love God. But then the idea would be, do we recognize that each sin is sin? Whether you think it's a small one or a big one, it's not about that. But when we are forgiven, we are all equally forgiven. So the idea would be then, when we realize just how much Christ has forgiven us, that will help us to be able to then forgive others. But also at the same time, I think it becomes more difficult when it becomes we are the ones who have done wrong, and we have to ask for forgiveness from someone else. For maybe we stepped on their foot. Those ones are a little bit easier. The ones where I stepped on their foot. No, I'm sorry about that. No, but then those ones where you deliberately hurt someone, you deliberately lied to someone, you deliberately did something that actually affected their lives, maybe even for the rest of their lives. How do you even begin to go over and ask for forgiveness? And those are the ones that maybe become a little bit more tough, but we cannot do that. Even the strength to be able to ask for forgiveness, that comes from God. We cannot go over to someone without being able to recognize that. You know what? God, you need to humble my heart, but also prepare their heart for where for the part that I also want to go and ask for forgiveness. But also recognizing that they have the right to be able to forgive. But remember, that doesn't mean that what you did or what they did was right. That letting go, and I think we said this yesterday, that being able to forgive, which, by the way, forgiveness can be a whole week full of a topic. But then in short, I'll just say this. The Lord's Prayer says this, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. So Yes, when it comes to forgiveness, it's an essential part of being able to let go. But at the same time, we should recognize that it comes that idea, Zanele being able to forgive me, comes from a place where Zanele has also been able to seek God's forgiveness and has been able to have that experience of forgiveness in there in your own heart as well.
So how then can we learn, to forgive ourselves and others when we make these mistakes? Because sometimes we dwell in that, in that sin because we're like, there's no way out. I can't forgive myself. If I can't forgive myself, God can't forgive me, So how do we deal with the issues of forgiving ourselves when we have made those mistakes?
So I like the way someone else once put it. I remember listening to a sermon and I liked the analogy, but I believe Christ also had it in a certain way. But the idea is when it comes to forgiveness, especially those ones where you'll probably have to forgive. Forgiveness is not an event. It is a process. If you've ever seen someone ring a bell, when you first of all ring the bell, you can hear that sound for quite a while, but it starts to go silent as time goes by. It's the same way forgiveness goes. You'll ask for forgiveness, or you will forgive someone, but one day those feelings will come back of, but then this person, what they did to me has affected me for the rest of my life. And that hatred can come up again. But then to be able to go over again, maybe not to the person, but be able to go to God and be able to say, Lord, I let this go. Please let help me to let this go. And as time goes by, you'll recognize that while before when you saw this person, you could probably even shake because of the hatred. After a while, you'll find out that that will actually start to dim out. And I say this out of experience, but I also say this from a point of view of saying it's not easy. But I'll also say this, and I think you might agree with me, disagree with me, but I'll ask, is it an idea of forgiving yourself though? Because I have, when I look through the Bible, I don't think it's an idea of forgiving. I can't see any place where it says you should forgive yourself.
I see what you're doing there.
And so there's the idea of, I'm not saying then that maybe what we should call it is, does the thought of, and you mentioned this, guilt. Guilt does come over and over, but maybe this should also be a difference between guilt and shame. I believe the conviction that God brings to our heart for things we have done wrong, that is to lead to repentance. So yes, guilt can even come from God to say, listen, there's this conviction, listen, don't, and be able to hear that. But then there's the other side of it, which is now a corrupt side, which is shame, to say, you know what, this is now the accuser of the brethren, the devil coming through and telling you again that you did this thing, and it's true you did that. But then he does that not in order that we repent, but rather that we would hide from God or run away from God. And this is not what God wants. What he wants is for us that conviction to lead to repentance. So it's not about just forgiving our, I mean, it really does have to be about accepting the forgiveness that God has offered. And many of us find this difficult to actually say that, but God, did you really forgive me? Have you really forgiven me? How could you forgive me? I can't even see how I could forgive someone for that. But then it's hard. But then I started to think of it that way of saying, can have I really accepted the forgiveness that God has offered freely? And if freely I have received, I should be able to freely give. Now, am I saying that then that makes it easier? No, because this is the reason why we pray and we ask the Lord to say, Lord, help me to be able to accept the forgiveness you have given me. Not to say that what I did or to justify what I did, but to truly accept your gift and your merit of forgiveness and your grace, help me. Because we fail to do that because we've hardly can see ourselves doing that or even others doing that for us. But when we ask God to be able to, he puts that in our heart to be able to accept the love, to accept his forgiveness, which is, we sometimes say it's easy, but some of us find it very hard to do. And that's why it's a daily a daily giving in. Maybe that's how come we have a daily focus, because
Yeah.
we need these kinds of things daily, not
Yeah.
just a one-time event.
We read there Paul saying there's a thorn, in your flesh, but God coming through and saying, "My grace is sufficient for you," and I often hear people saying that the reason why that thorn was not named is so that it can incorporate, every sin, everything that's there. Because if it was named, we would have
We'll
had
say that's
challenges
for
with
them.
it, So looking at that, his grace is sufficient for us, and the concept of grace, how does it help us, in terms of in terms of dealing with sin, how grace actually deals with sin.
So recognize that grace is not a justifying of sin. It does not say that that sin is not real or that sin can be excused. If it could be excused, then it is not sin. But the idea of grace is that it is God's power and his choice to forgive us and to give us more than what we ask or even deserve or even imagine. It's his gift to us. Grace is, even as I think about it now, I'm like, I don't think there's words that can fully grasp the idea of God's grace towards us. But it's unfavored merit, it's unfavored gift, it's an unfavored thing that he says, but I'm giving this to you freely. And this is not only what is required, but it is what your soul needs. It is what you yearn for. But then I'm not relying on your promises for it. It's my promise towards you. Yes, you have failed. You have fallen over time and time again. And I've fallen victim to this. When you have done something wrong repeatedly, you sometimes just go like, but God cannot continue to take me in. This is nonsense. But then God says that, but if you walk away from me, it doesn't make things any better. I know you're struggling with this. So come to me, and we will be able to work on it together. But if you try it in your own strength, you will continue to fail. But come to me and let's work on it together. So that's the idea that God brings forward. But it's also, so if he did not want you, he would not have sent his son for you. So it is for you that he died. It is for you that he left heaven and came here to die on a cross. It's for you. So if it was not, if he didn't want you, he wouldn't have come on such a hard labor. His effort shows us that he wants us, he wants you and I, and he wants to separate us from sin. So that's the idea, that he's not here to condemn, rather he has come to save.
Sure.
And that's great.
Yeah,
If I
man.
can put it that way, that's what
Yeah.
grace looks like. But I'm so sure that so many times we can see it in so many different ways that every day we can wake up with the fresh idea. Like I think is it Lamentations that says that his mercies are new
Yeah.
every morning.
Yeah. We have a comment that has come through from Sister Martha. She's saying that this reminds me of what Mrs. White wrote in her book, DA. She compared,
Is
yeah, Deserve Agency, compared the two, Mary and Simon in his house. Mary felt so grateful to the point of pouring fragrance oil on his head, but then that was counted as exaggeration. Simon as well was forgiven, but he did not really feel too compelled to do something for his savior. And this, I think, is a lesson that the saying which says gratitude yields much is true, and it definitely yields much. When we are grateful, we even in small things, so much is covered later, leading to love and forgiveness, even to others and those who wronged us. And for the part where people say, forgive yourself, I would rather put it as let go of what we cannot do for ourselves.
You know what? That's a powerful comment. And it actually, yes, that part in the Desire of Ages actually says that Simon himself was actually kind of part of how Mary ended up where she was. And so even though he had been forgiven, it seems like he had not even asked for forgiveness for what he had done. So in our own experience as well, we should be grateful for what God has done. And yes, being able to let go where what we cannot do, and be able to say, but God, I may not be able to understand how all of forgiveness works, but what I do know is that you have forgiven me. And so I accept that forgiveness, and I am grateful and thankful for it. I haven't earned it, but I have come to you in your grace. So I love that comment, and that's a wonderful comment indeed.
Yeah. So as we're nearing the end, looking at the issues of faith, you know, how does it help us? What is the role of faith, you know, in helping us overcome the power of sin and finding, hope in difficult times? Because when you have sinned that much, it's so difficult that, you know, sometimes some people lose themselves. Some people lose a part of themselves, you know, while, drowning in that sin. So the issues of faith, what role does it play in terms of helping us?
So I'll say this. In my own experience, I have found that faith gives us purpose and hope. Purpose and hope in that sin, while we're drowning in it, we feel like maybe there is no way out, or we feel helpless, and we feel like I cannot go any further without disappointing God or somehow ruining so much that God has built up. Faith helps us to recognize that, to see the character of God for who he is and not for who we think he is. And it helps us to see that, no, but God has not given up on us. And if he has not given up on us, the reality is not what people think of us or even what we say of ourselves, but what God thinks of us and what God says to us. And when he says in Jeremiah, and I will say this again, the promises of God are as sure as when he said, let there be light, and there was light. So when he says to you that I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, thoughts of good and not of harm, thoughts of a better future or a future with a hope, that is a promise. That is something that is as sure as the sun shines every day, or the light comes out, or that the seasons come around. God's purposes are not like men's promises. Our promises are like ropes of sand. But then God's promises are as sure as the rock. That's why Jesus said, whoever obeys my words and hears them out and sees them and lives them out by his strength, obviously, that is like a person who has built their house on the rock. And it doesn't say that then the storms don't come by, that sin will not come over, or sin will not come over and tempt, or that the tempter will not come, but that when he does, the fire will not kindle upon, or that the house will not fall. So We fall day by day, but if we fall day by day, let it be that we remember that God can carry us through moment by moment. And when he takes us through one moment, it means he can take us through the next. The moments become days, the days become months, and we are then able to overcome, not by our own power. And we will recognize that it is not our power, but we will recognize that it's the power of God.
Yeah, indeed. It's always, you know, insightful. And now since you speak about the sin, it's quite a very, very interesting one. Thank you so much, Brother Dumsani. I'm going to ask that please do offer a word of prayer as we close.
All right, let us pray. Our kind and loving Father in heaven, thank you so much for taking us through this portion of the program, that we may be able to daily focus on you. Father, help it to be that our minds would be focused on you. Keep us in perfect peace. We may not fully understand everything that is discussed, but we would ask that the forgiveness you offer, while we may not understand all of it, help us to grasp it with both hands. And even if it's just a weak holding on to, help it to be, Lord, that you would, as your word says, as we draw close to you, you draw close to us, and that as we grasp your hand, even just a weak grasp. Help to be, Lord, that you would grasp us with both your arms and hold us close by, as you said, that you will hold us with your righteous right hand. Help us to look towards Isaiah 41 and verse 10 as your promises towards us. And we would ask, Lord, that our minds would be focused on you and not on the sin that you have helped us to overcome. Help us, dear Lord, this day to help others and forgive others. Help us to be able to accept your forgiveness for us and help us to recognize that our lives are in your hands and the lives of those who you keep, who you have put in our care. Help to be that we put them into your care first. We thank you, dear Lord, for everything. We ask all this according to your will. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Brother Dumsani. May you have yourself a blessed day.
Same to you. You have a blessed day.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.